Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit may be truly wise in every choice, in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. O Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, Saint Francis Xavier, all God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. I wonder if you've ever heard that acronym ASAP. Do you know what that means, ASAP, any of you? As soon as possible. No, it's always say a prayer. Amen? Yeah. Right? Aren't these the exercises? So we have to try to supernaturalize that. Well, it's my first time in Nebraska, and I'm learning the ropes. I want to ask you a question. Is it against the law to tell a joke in Nebraska or not? You seem to be more serious than most people. No, you okay. Can I tell one? With your permission? Okay. And this will be related to one of the exercises later called the two standards. Spanish, las dos banderas. The two standards. There was a man who had a spiritual director. The man was a married man with a family, and he was going through a lot of turmoil, and he thought that he was possessed by the devil, thought the devil had a stronghold in his life. So he's sitting next to his spiritual director. He said, "Father, I think that I'm possessed by a devil." He said, "How do you know?" "Well, I hear voices." "What type of voices?" "Well, do this, do that, hurry up, take the trash out." And the priest said, "You're not possessed, you're just married." Maybe I haven't said that in the right context with married women. I might get into trouble, huh? All right, so we're getting into the swing of things. So this morning we're going to try to finish our meditation on principle and foundation. And unfortunately, my secretary has written a card to give to you for almost every meditation, but it just has arrived at the post office yesterday, so I would have given you the principle and foundation, the exact text itself last night, but because of problems with respect to transportation, but we'll probably give you the card after the second conference. So Amy's picking up the card. Very attractive cards. We have pictures on them, and you've got texts, either biblical texts or the text from the spiritual exercises. So I apologize for getting that car a little bit late, but better late than never, right? Okay, so principle and foundation, all these exercises in the background of your meditations, you should have principle and foundation. So everything you're doing, you're having that as a focal point, as a light, as an orientation. You like is the parable Jesus speaks about the man that built the house on the two different foundations. Matthew chapter 7 from the Sermon on the Mount. One was built on sand, the other one was built on rock. So our spiritual life is based on Princemont Foundation. So last night I gave you the first part of it, and today I'll give you the second, I'll give you the last two-thirds of it. So if you remember, you are created for this reason. You're created to praise God, right? Remember that? And you're created to save your soul, as well as to be instrument in saving souls of others. Because as St. John Bosco says, we're not going to go to heaven or hell by ourselves. We're going to go up or down with others. So you're created to praise God, and you're created to save your soul. So in any action you do, you should ask yourself, is this going to praise God? Is this going to praise God? Is this going to help me to get closer to heaven and your family? That should always be in the background of your decisions and your actions. Will this praise God? Will this help me get closer to heaven? So I hope at the end of these few days, when you finish, before making decisions and actions, you'll have that in your mind. Is this going to glorify God? Is this going to help me get closer to heaven? That is our philosophy in life. I'm older than most of you. I was brought up and raised at the tail end of the Baltimore Catechism. So most of you are maybe too young to remember that. Maybe the sisters, yes, the Baltimore Catechism. And the Baltimore Catechism says we're created to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life, so as to be happy with Him. Remember, sisters? Yeah. To know God, to love God, to serve God in this life, so as to be happy with Him in heaven. It's almost the same thing. Changing a few words, Ignatius says, praise, reverence, serve, salvation of soul, but it's really the same concept. Now, with respect to praise, you have psalms. Some of you pray the liturgy of the hours. Many of the psalms are psalms of praise, especially the 150 psalms. The last three, 48, 149, 150, are psalms of praise. Daniel chapter 3 is probably the best chapter you have in the Bible, which is about 100 verses, where Daniel is praising God for the sun, the moon, the stars, the darkness, the dew. But what do you think is the greatest way that we can praise God? For me, it's a no-brainer. I'm a Catholic priest, you know that by now, right? By the Mass. Amen? By the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the greatest way we can praise God. What is the purpose of the Mass? Through Him, with Him, and in Him. Okay, we're singing the doxology. That doxology is a summary of the purpose of the Mass. We praise God the Father by offering God the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. In a nutshell, that's the purpose of the Mass. And that's the purpose of our life. We're called to praise God the Father by offering God the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you really want to live out Princemont Foundation to the utmost, try to participate, as Vatican II, Sacrosanctum Concilium says. Participate fully, actively, and consciously in the Mass. That's the best way that you will be able to praise God. Did you know that there are different choirs of angels? You've probably heard the choirs of angels. Not that they sing in a choir like in a Mass, no? It's Thomas Aquinas. You ever hear of Thomas Aquinas, any of you? Thomas Aquinas, he was known as the angelic doctor. He divided the angels into choirs. We have a guardian angel. There's an archangel. There's virtues and powers and dominations. And then the highest would be the cherubim and the seraphim. What are they doing? They're in heaven praising God for all eternity. That's the only thing they do. And that is by far the most noble, sublime action that a creature can do, is to praise God. So in the Mass, we unite ourselves with the angels to praise God. Sanctus, 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 holy, holy, holy. So maybe when you're participating in Mass, try to connect the Mass with principle and foundation. So when you're participating in Mass, you're praising God, you're doing the highest, most sublime action this side of heaven, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So we're called to praise God. We're called to reverence God. Pope Benedict XVI, who died but a few months ago, he says that in the modern world, we're losing the sense of the sacred. We're losing the sense of the sacred, especially in our churches. We're losing the sense of the sacred. So reverence, we have to try to cultivate an attitude of reverence. Remember Moses when he was before the burning bush? What did he do? Take off your sandals. Why? You're walking on holy ground. What about Isaiah in the temple? Remember that? Isaiah chapter 6? He had the vision of the angels and he felt unholy, and the angel purified his lips by that burning coal. What about the Magi? What did they do? Remember the three wise guys, as one of my nieces said? Wise men. They prostrated themselves, right? And they offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Reverence. I love the message of Our Lady Fatima. Have you ever read the message of Our Lady Fatima, any of you? Wonderful message. When the angel appears, what do the children do? Jacinta, Francis, and Lucia. They prostrate themselves. And they worship and praise God. So we have to cultivate an attitude of reverence before the sacred. And one way in which we do it is when we come in front of the tabernacle. You probably noticed when I came in, I made a genuflection. That's a way in which you're living both adoration and reverence, by making a good genuflection. Maybe some of us have forgotten to do that. Some of us, well, I'm older than 40, Father, I can't do it anymore, I can't go down. Well, I think you can. Going all the way down the ground with your right knee, that's adoration and reverence. Amen? Yeah. And even the church teaches, before receiving communion, you know, the rubrics say you should make an act of reverence before you receive communion. My favorite is you have your hands folded in a reverential bow, the body of Christ, amen. Reverential bow before receiving the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So, praise God, reverence God. And then we're called to serve God. Let me unite two different concepts in one. Two different concepts in one. A couple of days ago, it was the last day of May, we celebrated the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. In that second joyful mystery, you have Mary both praising God and serving God. Serving God through her cousin Elizabeth. Both of them were pregnant, expecting their babies, right? St. John the Baptist, and then Mary was expecting Jesus. So Mary goes there to serve. So if we're praising God with our hearts, we should be serving people with our feet and our hands. And then after Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" At the sound of your greeting. Remember that passage? The baby leaped within my womb. Blessed are you for having believed that these things of the Lord would be accomplished in you. Then Mary. Did you know Mary's spoke 7 times in the Bible. Do you know the 7 times that Mary spoke? Nope. One day I'll give you a talk on that one. Okay, the 7 words of Mary. The longest expression we have is in the visitation. Mary greets Elizabeth, Shalom. She probably said Shalom. And then after that, she gives us what's called the Magnificat. And that's a prayer that we as religious, we pray every night in Vespers. Our evening prayer, we pray, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's looked upon the lowliness. Henceforth all generations will call me blessed. Hail Mary, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, right? That was a prophecy of Mary. So in Mary you have those two different attitudes of serving God in her cousin Elizabeth, and then praising God by that beautiful prayer, the Magnificat. Magnificat is a beautiful prayer. And St. Louis de Montfort, who gives us true devotion to Mary, says that's a great prayer to pray after you receive Holy Communion. If you have Jesus within your heart, then you're praising Jesus with the canticle of praise of Mary. All right. We're called to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and then by means of that, to save our souls. To save our souls. Remember many years ago, when I had arrived in Buenos Aires, my first mission, in the mid-80s, my Spanish teacher, who knew both Spanish and English, was a teacher in one of the schools in Buenos Aires. And she asked me to be her spiritual director. I said, fine. And our first meeting, I told her, if you want me to be your spiritual director, you have to become a saint. She almost fell off the chair. I think she was considering, maybe I'm going to get a different spiritual director. So when people come to me for spiritual direction, if you don't want to try to become a saint, look for another director. I'm not the right one for you. Because we're all called to become saints. That's part of the principle and foundation. We're all called to become saints. I'll prove it. You're looking at me with jaundiced eyes this morning, right? I'll try to prove it. How many of you want to go to heaven? Okay, who's in heaven? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the angels, and the... Got it. No way around it. I'm using logic now, right? Who's in heaven? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the angels, and the saints. So these exercises, principle and foundation, should motivate us to try to become the saint that God is calling us to be. And later on, we're going to be talking about what's the major obstacle to prevent us from becoming saints. We have to encounter the roadblocks, because there are roadblocks. So let's talk a couple of minutes about that concept of holiness. Have any of you ever heard of the documents of Vatican II? Any of you? How many of you have heard the documents of the Second Vatican Council? Have you read some of them? There are 16. Do you know the most important ones? They're called dogmatic constitutions. De Verbum, Sacrosanctum Concilium, Gaudium et Spes, and Lumen Gentium. You probably heard those, right? Lumen Gentium is probably the most well-known. And it has 8 chapters. The 8th chapter is Mary, the mother of the church. How about the 5th chapter? Universal call to holiness. Yeah. That's the 5th chapter. Universal call to holiness. I'll prove it again through biblical verses. So I think I have to go back to my teaching years now, okay? I'm going to test your grammar, see if you know your grammar well, okay? Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. What tense is that? Remember going back to eighth grade? You forgot your grammar. Okay, the infinitive is to be, right? Be holy. It's not the present. It's not the future. It's not the conditional. It's not the subjunctive. It's not a split infinitive. It's not a gerund. It is a command. There's a bit of grammar this morning, huh? It's called, in English grammar, it's called an imperative. What does imperative mean? It means it's a command. So it's not wishful thinking. It's not wishful thinking or something conditional. Rather, it's a command. Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. How about the Beatitudes? Have you ever meditated upon the Beatitudes? There are eight of them, right? One of them is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness. They will be satisfied, yes? Righteousness, you have various interpretations from the Greek, right? But one interpretation, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness. And justice is a person who's living a holy life. St. Paul to the Thessalonians, this is the will of your heavenly Father, your sanctification. Yep. After I was ordained by John Paul II, I had the privilege of being with Mother Teresa. Yeah, I met her more than once, living in Rome for 7 years. What a privilege. No? Great privilege. No? And Mother Teresa, one of the most famous modern saints, said this, holiness is not the privilege of the few, but is the duty of all. Amen? Yeah. The founder of Opus Dei. You've heard of Opus Dei, somebody. Okay? Jose Maria Escobar Balaguer. What does he say? He says that the biggest crisis in the world is not the oil crisis, the economic crisis. The biggest crisis is the lack of saints. Any of you ever hear of the Curie of Ars? No? I have a first-class relic of him in my room. How about that? I have a lot of relics, no? And I'm a walking relic, too. At the end of the life of the Curie of Ars, the devil appeared and said, if there are five more of you, my kingdom would be destroyed. Imagine that? Six saints like the Curie of Ars, his kingdom would be destroyed. He was so holy. So, Prince Mount Foundation challenges us to go beyond our status quo and to get out of our comfort zone, get out of the nest, okay? And to walk on the water. And to strive to become the greatest saint that God wants us to be. So Leo Bloy, a very famous writer who lived about 100 years ago, says that the biggest tragedy in the world, the biggest tragedy in our life, is to not become the saint that God has called us to be. That's the biggest tragedy. So PNF, Prince Mount Foundation, should motivate us to strive to become the saint that God wants us to be. Amen? All right, so I'm kind of summarizing what we said last night because it's so important that we, through a spiritual osmosis that sinks deep within our minds, our hearts, our souls, so our actions will motivate us to... I'll just give you something practical. This is not something theoretical. I'm obviously not a biological father, but if I were to have children, when they're going to college, that is probably about the most important decision in their life. Maybe you don't know, most Catholic kids, when they go to college, when they come out, they no longer practice their faith. Did you know that? You might have children that are 16 now or 17, and they have to make that decision. I tell the parents to come and talk with me because I'm an educator and I'm aware of the colleges in the United States, and I'll try to give you some coaching so that they can make the right decision. Because your kid could maybe go to some of the big guns on the East Coast, right? The Ivy Leagues, you've heard of them. Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, and Dartmouth, Columbia, UPenn. Okay, you can maybe go to the big guns on the East Coast, right? And your son or daughter ends up with a master's from Harvard or Princeton or Dartmouth, right? But then she loses her faith. She got head as big as a watermelon. Well, here you got pumpkins here, right? In Nebraska, right? But she ends up by losing her soul. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? So you see, Prince Mount Foundation will help you to make the most important decisions for your children. And then your sons or daughters are going to get married one day. Huge decision. Most people marry the wrong person, right? In the wrong place, with the wrong intention, and it's tantamount to catastrophe. Most people. But 65% in divorce, right? Whether you're a Catholic or a non-believer. And I think one of the reasons why is a poor marriage prep, but also you're choosing the wrong person. When you get married, you choose the person that's going to help you to get to heaven. Amen? Amen, huh? Yeah, you choose the person that's going to get me to heaven. You know, a lot of the American girls, they got the 5 B's, right? The guy has to have brains, brawn, beauty, and big bucks, the 5 B's, huh? Never heard that one, huh? Brains, brawn, beauty, and big bucks, Billy. That's the paganistic, secularistic criteria, is all appearance. But that person is spiritually bankrupt, huh? So I'm expounding upon this because if you understand Prince Mount Foundation, it's going to change your way of thinking and acting. And you're going to be a force, a motivational force to bring your, starting with your children and your husband, but then other people too, to bring them to heaven. To bring them to heaven. St. Thomas Aquinas says that your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. You hear me? St. Thomas Aquinas. Your soul, the soul of your 15-year-old daughter, who's rebellious now, okay? Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. And I'm not using hyperbole. What does that word mean? Literary flair to emphasize a point if you're an English major, right? I'm not using hyperbole. Rather, your soul is worth more. Look at this beautiful place. This place is worth millions of bucks, huh? Your soul is a million times more important than all these beautiful places that we're looking at here. Your soul. This is Prince Mount Foundation. We're never going to carry out anything unless we're convinced intellectually that it's worth the effort. We're never going to carry out great things for God unless we're convinced of the greatness of God and the infinite value of our immortal soul. Amen? I've often felt like if I have an older brother who is an orthopedic surgeon in Orlando. 4 years at Dartmouth, another 5 years at Columbia Medical School, another year, 10 years of preparation to be a doctor. Maybe we get a couple of doctors here. It's a long haul. After high school, I studied 11 years. The only year I wasn't studying, I was teaching. That's a long haul. Why? I believed it's worthwhile to be a priest. I believe that. That's Prince Mount Foundation. All those years of study. Imagine that. Studying until you're 30 years old. If I were not convinced that it's worth a while to become a priest. I wouldn't be here now. That's principle and foundation. You understand? So I'm expounding upon this because unless this sinks in, the rest of the retreat in your life, you're walking on sand. Okay? You're walking on sand. But if you've understood principle and foundation, you're praying it and you're assimilating it, the rest of this retreat and the rest of your life is going to be, it's going to be on rock. It's going to be a rock foundation. All right, the next part of principle and foundation, it is, I'll summarize it in this concept. In Latin, it's called the law of tantum quantum. Law of tantum quantum. In English, it means this. We're called to use all the things as a means to arrive at God. Use everything. Everything in creation, you want to use it as a means by which, a bridge by which, a ladder by which you can arrive at your eternal destiny. We can either use or we can abuse. Remember that, okay? We can either use or abuse. I invited you to meditate on Genesis 1 and 2 yesterday, right? I gave that as a biblical passage. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you see God creating. You have two different accounts of creation, two different perspectives. So everything in creation is good. If everything in creation is good, then why is there so much evil out there? We can't deny that. So you read through Genesis 1, God created, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. Well, about 10 times, it was good, it was good, it was good. Then what? Why do you have things that are bad? It's not God's fault, and people do blame God for bad things that happen in the world. It's because instead of using, we are abusing. Now your challenge now, right now, and this point of the exercise is, what things in this world are you using to praise God, but what things are you possibly abusing? Now we all have to. Ignatius says the exercises are done to order the disordered. To order the disorder. A disorder is, it's, we're not using the thing in its proper context, its proper measure, and its proper intention. Well, this is a no-brainer, but one of the biggest abuses today is the use of our human sexuality. That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. And often leads to what? Abortion, right? That's an abuse. If sex didn't exist, we wouldn't be here, right? Thanks be to God for our parents. But how easy it is to abuse that. It's a great gift. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. So everything that you can use, you're using, you can see how it can be used properly, or how it can be used disorderly. Okay, later on, I'm going to be talking about the capital sins. I only have 45 minutes. I'd like to have 7 hours. Really, I could spend 7 hours on each one of those capital sins. But I don't have that time. You're going to see in the capital sins how often we have this gift, but we're abusing it. So examine your lives. What are the things that we're abusing right now? You might even look at the three T's, your time, your treasure, your talents. We all waste time. We waste time. Our talents, we have talents, but maybe we cultivated them 50%. Our treasures, okay, we use them, but then we end up by going to the store, you buy another dress, or online. Well, you already have 25. Why have to buy 26? You know, there's probably abuse there. And it's called materialism, right? Now, the exercise, my friends, I believe of all the retreats, the Ignatian retreats, well, I think they're the best. But they're demanding. It's not a joyride. I mean, you do the exercises, my friends. You're taking yourself apart and you're reconstructing yourself spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, if you do them well. And I've given 3-day retreats, many 8-day retreats, 30-day retreat. This is, you're just whetting your appetite with this short retreat. But if you do an 8-day retreat, then a month retreat, more is going to surface. Maybe one day we'll be able to ask those who organize this to give some 8-day retreats here. Amen? Now, I'd be on board. I could do it. I've given many 8-day retreats, no? But this is good. It's a good start. It's a good start. So are you using or are you abusing? You invite me to your house. You, your husband, and your daughter. And there are 6 hamburgers. So I eat 5 of those hamburgers because I'm really hungry after this retreat. No? That's abusing. That means all of the 3 of you have a third of a hamburger because I've eaten 5 of them, okay? That's a no-brainer. I'm going to throw it out now. You have phones. Probably all of us have to change our use of the cell phone at least a little bit. Amen or oh me? Oh me. Oh me, Father Broome. Why did you say that? I didn't want to hear that. No. Well, hey. 4, 5, 6, 7. Maybe you should be spending an hour less so you talk with your rebellious 2 teenage son and daughter and battling with them. Yeah, I've been teaching teenagers for 40 years in confirmation. They're toughies. They're more tough in L.A. than here, I'll tell you. With the cholos, the gang members. Maybe more time with them and less time on your phone checking out the news. No? Amen or oh me? Amen, right? All right. So, the last part of Principle and Foundation is called holy indifference. Holy indifference. And a biblical passage that I would like to give to you. Have you ever read the book of Job in the Old Testament? Part of the wisdom literature. So like he asks you to read at least Job 1 and 2. So Job 1 and 2 really exemplifies holy indifference. And we'll get you the card of the Princeton Foundation the next talk, God willing. Holy indifference. Have any of you heard the concept holy indifference? Have you done the exercise? Okay, it's the first time. So holy indifference, it doesn't mean in English apathy. Doesn't mean that. It's the exact opposite. If you say I'm indifferent, a synonym in English would be apathy, okay? Or the young people say whatever. Spanish que me importa, okay? The whatever generation, no? It's not that. Rather, holy indifference is a total openness to God. In the Spanish, plena disponibilidad para ser la voluntad de Dios, as Ignatius would say, okay? A total openness to God's will. Now, in this, you're going to be hitting on our attachments. And Ignatius, buckle your seatbelts now, okay? He gives you 4 categories. Are you listening? Don't zone out yet, okay? Give me a couple more minutes, okay? Four categories. You don't want to prefer a long life over a short life. You don't want to prefer health over sickness. You don't want to prefer riches over poverty. I've never been in a more luxurious place in my life than here. No? You don't want to prefer honors over humiliations. Whoa! Cutting close to the bone now? But you want to choose and prefer and desire what is most conducive to the end for which you're created. Full circle, what? To praise God and to save souls. Yeah, that's, I see some of you are cringing in your seats now, huh? I mean, it's a toughie. If you're hearing this the first time, you probably don't want to hear it again, but you're going to hear it again anyway. You don't want to prefer a long life over a short life. It's interesting, in Fatima, when they asked little Francisco, what do you want to be when you're older? He says, I don't want to be anything. I want to die and I want to go to heaven to be with that beautiful woman. Interesting, isn't it? Because she said, I'm going to take you and Jacinta to heaven. He said, I don't want to live a long life. I want to pray, sacrifice, and I want to die young because I want to be with that beautiful woman in heaven. That's only a difference. Little kid, couldn't even read and write, Francisco. Two youngest canonized saints in the Catholic Church. It's not that we don't like to live, but we should want to live as long as God wants us to live. Not 1 minute more, nor 1 minute less. Live as long as we can. But when God wants to take us from this life to the next, I'm yours, Lord. Not to cling to life, to cling to God. My philosophy is to walk with Jesus and Mary, St. Joseph, and my guardian angel. Amen? I try to live that way. Live with Jesus and Mary. St. Joseph is leading the way. My guardian angel is behind. Good philosophy? What do you think? Yeah? During the retreat, regularly, you're walking with Jesus and Mary, St. Joseph. Hopefully you'll love St. Joseph. And you have your guardian angel. And the devils are going to, the devils will attack you anyway, but you're in good company, huh? Sickness. You arrive at it, my father passed away 7 years ago, and he was saying, you arrive at a certain age where you fall apart one piece at a time. A beautiful talk to speak about this salvific meaning of suffering. That suffering for us as Catholics, it has meaning. You know, the sisters used to teach us back in the 60s in New York three words. I'm sure these sisters probably taught this. Offer it up, right? You ever teach that to your kids? You ever hear that? At least my mom, born in the early 30s, it was, hey, get a headache. Offer it up. Instead of complaining, offer it up. Sanctify it. Riches over poverty. The United States is the richest country in the world. Materialism is one of our downfalls. Now, my interpretation. Why did we have this pandemic? God sent it to us to detach us from material things. My interpretation. Didn't work in a lot of most people's lives, but that was the way God was working, showing this country and the world, you cannot save yourself by material things. Only I can save you. A lot of people died. And then, not to prefer honor over humiliations. Do you like to be humiliated? Hello? I doubt it. You love to be humiliated. Ah, fat chance, huh? Fat chance. You want to be humble? It comes through humiliations whether you like it or not. They're not going to come the way you expect. When someone cuts you off on the freeway, oh, praise God, praise you. He's got an emergency. His wife is going to have a baby, so let's cut him some slack. Huh? We grow in humility through humiliations. And I'll give you a summary of Princeton Foundation, those who have lived it, those who have lived it best are you listening? The martyrs. Maria Goretti, okay? Maximilian Kolbe. You know, the Cristeros from Mexico, Miguel Pro. Those are the ones that lived holy indifference to the max, that they're willing to shed their life in imitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I've given you a lot this morning, but I purposely have to set the groundwork of your spiritual life, these exercises, so we can understand better and better the whole purpose of our existence. We are here to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, to save our lives. We're called to use and not to abuse. We're called not to be attached to persons and places and things, our own ideas. We're called to set our hearts on the love of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in heaven, our eternal home. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
The Lord be with you. And may God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's no handouts. I think the helper has not come, so I'll have to get the handouts. Oh, do you have them? Okay. So you're going to have some handouts for this meditation. Make sure you get it. And if you have a binder or something, try to put them in an orderly fashion. Okay? God bless you. Yeah?